be seated. This evening I want to leave a very well-known verse with you, perhaps the best-known verse in the Bible, John chapter 3 and the verse 16. And our Lord Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We'll seek the Lord's face briefly together in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee, dear Lord, for your help given this evening, for the reading of thy word, for these beautiful pieces reminding us of the coming of our Lord. And we pray in these moments that we consider your truth together, that the help of the Lord will be given. And we pray that there will be a word for every heart, and very especially for those that are here not saved as yet. We pray, dear Lord, that their hearts will be opened to see their great need, that even this evening that they will turn to Christ and be saved. Grant that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. At Christmas time, we often think about gifts. We love to receive gifts, love to give gifts. As we think of that, various questions have been asked as to where that originated. Some have talked about the gifts of the wise men. The greatest gift was God's gift. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. The gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he came in human flesh, is the greatest gift that ever has been given on earth. The story is told of a poor lady who had a sick daughter. And each day when the mother would come home, the daughter would ask her what she had brought. And the daughter in particular was asking, "Have you brought grapes?" But they didn't live in a place where the grapes were readily available. They didn't live in a place where grapes grew. It was winter. The grapes were expensive. But every day the child would ask, "Did you buy me grapes today?" One day when the mother was out walking, she noticed a great conservatory. And in the conservatory, in this great garden, she could see grapes. And so she entered in and she was stopped by the groundsman. And she asked him if she would be able to purchase some of these grapes. She offered a shilling. But she was rebuffed, and she felt that maybe I've been refused because I didn't offer enough. And she felt, "I need to save more and come back when I have more money, and then I will seek to purchase the grapes." When she raised 2 shillings, she went back. Again, the groundsman tried to remove her. But as he was seeking to remove her, a young lady approached. And the young lady was asking what the trouble was. And so the mother, she began to explain about her sick child. She began to explain about the desire of the sick child. And the lady then took the mother into the conservatory. She cut armfuls of grapes and gave them unto the mother. And the mother said, "I can't have them all. I only have 2 shillings to pay you." The lady refused. She said, "I am the daughter of the king. A king does not sell. A king delights to give. A king does not sell. A king delights to give." And isn't that a reminder of the great story of the gospel? Almighty God delights to give. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm glad it doesn't say God so loved that he offered his son if men could pay. No, there's grace in this text. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave freely. He gave generously. Here is God's great grace to the undeserving. Those that have nothing to offer. And spiritually speaking, we are worse off than that poor mother. We don't even have 2 shillings, spiritually speaking, to offer God to earn salvation. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to give except our sinful hearts. But God so loved that he gave. These words remind me of another great text in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, or his indescribable gift. God's gift, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be fully described. No words can adequately describe the greatness of the gift. And in the moments that are left, then, I want us to think just briefly about this unspeakable or indescribable gift. Why is the gift of Christ to the world beyond adequate human description? First of all, because love is its foundation. Love is its foundation. God so loved that he gave. And so the giving of our Lord Jesus is the outworking of God's great love. Read the book of Romans, God commendeth his love toward us, or God demonstrates his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the great proof of love then was in the coming of Jesus Christ, and in particular his coming, that he might die. And here then is this great pledge of love. God so loved that he gave. One of the Puritans, Lavelle, said that Christ is the richest jewel in God's cabinet. And God did not withhold from us the most precious jewel. Paul's great argument in Romans chapter 8 is that he freely gave him up for us all. And therefore there are many things that accompany that gift, as we'll see in a moment or two. Tonight, as we think of the wonderful news of the coming of Christ. Christ came because of God's love. God so loved that he gave. But then this gift is also indescribable because it was not given alone. It was not given alone. As God gave the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is accompanied with a great number of gifts. Christ's gift, the gift of Christ, is a gift that is accompanied. In John chapter 6, we have the account of the feeding of the 5,000 men, and then there were ladies and children in addition. In John chapter 6:32, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And so Christ is the manna, the bread that has come down from heaven. But with the coming of the bread, with the coming of the manna, there is life. In John chapter 4, we read of Christ as the living water. And as Christ has come as the living water, he gives the satisfaction, the contentment that is associated with that. And so we could go through the New Testament to speak of how, with this great gift has come pardon, forgiveness, peace with God, adopted into God's family. So our Lord said in our text, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We were born depression, born in sin, born in need. But here is the gospel. The gift has been given that sinners would not perish. Because with the gift of Christ as the baby in Bethlehem, all of these other gifts come in association with it. And the duty upon the sinner tonight is this. Believe. Believe. You must receive Christ yourself. Whosoever believeth in him. It's a wonderful thing to believe in the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to believe in the truth of the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but have you believed in him? Have you received him? This gift of Christ is beyond description as we think of the gifts that are associated with it. It's not given alone. And then finally, this gift is indescribable because of the uniqueness of it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. Now, this particular part of the text is disputed, and not all versions translated as it is here in the Authorized Version. But I believe the Authorized Version has it right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The translation he gave his one and only Son is a weak translation. This word begotten was held by our forefathers to be a necessary word. It was understood by them to be bringing out wonderful truths concerning Christ's person. So the word is translated here, only begotten. It sometimes does have the idea of only Son. It can have the idea of unique Son. But there is in it this idea of begetting. And what has been emphasized is this, that Christ is the Son of God by right. And Christ is the only Son of God by right. There are the sons of God by adoption, but Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. If you're a Christian, you are a son or a daughter of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That is, he gave the one of his own essence, of his own being, the same substance. Jesus Christ is very God of very God. And that's what John is emphasizing in this gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here then, John, he is emphasizing, or it's Christ emphasizing, John reports, and Christ emphasizes to Nicodemus, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You see, some mere man could not be your Savior. This Savior had to be the very Son of God in human flesh. He had to be God and man. He had to represent the needs of man before a holy God. And there is none that has ever been entitled to such a position except our Lord Jesus Christ. These words are bringing us to see then that Christ is the great mediator. This is a unique gift. There is no gift like it. And it's a gift that is offered to you tonight. As we think of Christmas time or any time of celebration, when a gift is offered, you don't reach for your purse or your wallet to pay for the gift. That would be an offense. You receive. You receive. Tonight, praise God, the gospel message is not try to make yourself a little bit better and hopefully by this time next year you'll be able to have the gift. No. The gospel is receive it now. Receive it when you're unworthy. Receive it when you're not good enough, because you never will be good enough. That's the whole point of the gospel. So you're to come empty-handed. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. As Christ came as the only begotten Son of the Father, he was the one then that was entitled to give himself upon Calvary, to bear away our sin. What a great Savior. And this Christmas may we say thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, for his gift beyond adequate human description. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Trust the Lord will take his word. Amen.